WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The event that brings us all together to delight in the thrill of watching the world's top athletes is back. The opening ceremony and Celine Dion's iconic performance from the Eiffel Tower kicked off the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris. While this is an exciting time, it can also be overwhelming for us viewers to navigate such a wide array of sports to tune into, from classics like swimming and gymnastics to newer marvels like breakdancing. For some insight into athletes and games to watch, I sat down with WBEZ's sports contributor Cheryl Ray Stout and WBEZ audio producer and avid sports fan Noah Jennings. I know that I'm pretty pumped about the Olympics, so I started by asking how they're feeling. Here's Noah.
I'm really loving it. It's early on, but again, you know, there's just, I manage to forget every time that there's just so many sports happening seemingly just all around the clock.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So definitely readjusting to that schedule, I'd say.
Super exciting time, Cheryl. How are you feeling about things?
I love it. If you can't sleep, just turn on an NBC product and you could watch something live.
Exactly. That's exactly what I've been doing. It's just using it as an excuse to stay up.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, Cheryl, you've taken it from just watching it at home to actually being at the Olympics before, right?
Yes, I went to Atlanta in 1996.
Amazing.
And I'm telling you, Sasha, if you ever have an opportunity to do it, you should go. It is so cool. I went to events that Americans don't usually go to. I went to field hockey. I went to judo. I went to men's gymnastic finals, and I got those tickets by a scalper for $15 a piece.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you got to love the 90s. $15. Oh, my gosh, that's incredible. And yeah, I'm going to take your advice for sure if I can make it to the next one. I want to dig into some of these sports that we're checking out now over the next couple of weeks. Some games kicked off over the weekend, starting with pool. Let's start in the pool, sorry. Frenchman Leon Marchand won the 400-meter individual medley, and the hometown crowd was electric cheering him on. I want to play a little bit of that.
And this is the part where the crowd helps him stroke by stroke every time he pops up.
When you get an event like this, and you hear this, listen to that, folks. Every stroke he comes out of the water, he knows he's doing something special. And imagine, in front of your home crowd.
That was so cool to watch. That synergy, I mean, it literally gave me chills watching it because he was so far ahead of everyone else. And then you just hear the crowd cheering him on every time he comes up from the breaststroke. You caught this race, right, Cheryl?
Did. And I just loved it. And the fact is that Michael Phelps was also commentating, who is one of Leon's favorite, you know, of course, he's the GOAT for swimming. That was exciting. The one thing about when you have a player win the gold in front of their home country, you know, they just absorb it. They enjoy it. It is really some of the best parts about the Olympics.
There was an upset, Noah, in the women's 100-meter butterfly. I mean, this is a fast event, and it's to the end of the pool and back. But tell us what happened here.
Yeah, like you said, very quick, only about a minute long, give or take. So Tori Husk, she's only 21 years old. She's the one who came away with the gold. And it was an upset over another fellow American, Gretchen Walsh.
Oh.
And both of them are young. They're both 21 years old. And Husk competed at the 2020 games in Tokyo. She came away with a silver in the 4x100 medley relay.
Yeah.
But she was only a tenth of a second away from getting the gold. And in her individual race, she was 1/100th of a second from reaching the podium.
Oh, my goodness.
So her early career has really been defined by being just right there.
So close.
And not being able to get it to the finish line. And Gretchen Walsh, this is her first Olympics, but the reason she was so heavily favored is, on top of her outstanding collegiate career, she, during the team trials in this event, she set the world record.
Oh my gosh.
She is at the absolute top of the top. And in watching this race, it was Walsh leading for most of it. And then just toward the back stretch, it was just an unbelievable push by Husk. It was giving me shades of those battles we would see from Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte years ago.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
It was like that. You know, during Husk's last like 4 or 5 strokes, I'm not sure her head came out of the water to breathe.
Oh my gosh.
Was just pushing it with everything she had. So it was an amazing battle. And they're both competing in the 100-meter freestyle tomorrow in the qualifying. And so if they both advance to the finals, we could see them again on Wednesday.
My stomach's in knots just hearing that. The U.S. women's gymnastics team, let's talk about them because they had their qualifying event yesterday. Simone Biles was among them. Calf injury and all. I mean, tension was high as she did her, you know, her vault routine. I saw her floor exercise. This event, the vault routine was the one in Tokyo that led her to withdraw from the games,
right,
Noah. So what is top of mind for you now as you think about her being back in 2024?
Well, like you said, it's just so fantastic to see such a dynamic performer.
Yeah.
Be able to compete, because we saw her in 2020. She walked away citing, you know, her mental health and experiencing the twisties from her competing and having to walk away from it. And it seems like just yesterday we were talking about her being, you know, the up and coming newcomer fresh out of high school, and she's already 27 years old.
Yeah.
You know,
she's a veteran,
right? She's
the most decorated.
She's the vet of the team.
She is.
You know, gymnast careers aren't that long, and obviously she's a unicorn, but you never know how long you're going to have with her. So any opportunity to get to see her is great. I know you mentioned she did have that calf injury nagging at her, but we did just hear that she's going to compete in all 4 of the events during the team, during the team final happening tomorrow. So
that's awesome.
Should be all systems go there.
How are you feeling about Simone Biles and her chances, Cheryl?
I think she's right now at the top of it. And what's really cool is tonight, I just finished the Bears practice. Her husband, Jonathan Owens,
yes,
is flying to Paris to be with her. That's a big, you know, she's going to have all her family, but having her husband there to embrace her, to, you know, help her. You know, this women's team is solid. Suni Lee is solid. You know, Jordan Childs just missed, because they only take 2 players from each country to be in the all round.
Mm-hmm.
And she just missed it. So to have Simone Biles, she presents everything great about the sport. She also is, they call her the grandma of the team, you know, which is an endearment because they really embrace her. And her type of positivity right now, I think, is bleeding into the rest of the players, and they feel it.
Yeah, no, she really is just the embodiment of grace and poise and just skill, raw skill. She's it's super entertaining to watch. I don't know how the woman flies so high. my jaw drops literally every time she launches into the air. But you mentioned Suni Lee there, Cheryl. I'm glad you did, because Suni, since winning all around gold in 2020, you know, she developed a debilitating kidney condition, and then at one point, her future in the sport was uncertain. But she's back. She's here.
She gained 45 pounds. She had to relearn how to do a lot of things, and the gymnastics was, she says, part of her helping her get through this. Her doctors gave her the okay. She performed well. I mean, I can't imagine waking up one morning like she did in college with all the, she couldn't open her eyes. She had trouble with her hands. She had gained the weight. She found out it was a kidney issue. I mean, that is just inspiring to see that she's able to come back and that she gets to compete at a high level, which she's done.
Incredible. Let's move on to basketball, Noah. The U.S. men's basketball team played over the weekend. They beat Serbia. What'd you make of that game?
Yeah,
I missed it.
Oh, well, I will say it was a relatively convincing, you know, easygoing win for Team USA. But the thing with men's basketball that's really interesting comparatively to other Olympic sports is, especially for these early games, mm-hmm. there's very little satisfaction that comes from a win because it's just a matter of good. They should win it, you know. Right. In last year after, you know, they underperformed at the FIBA World Cup, LeBron James took it upon himself to recruit the absolute best of the best. And they said, all right, we need to take care of mm-hmm. business in Paris. And so this is just a who's who of the biggest stars yeah. on their team. So anything less than a gold for them is failure, quite frankly.
It makes sense. And LeBron's done that before, right? We've seen him do that in the NBA, recruiting the best of the best and getting everybody on the same team. Cheryl, the men's team will play their second game on Wednesday against South Sudan. Tell us about the South Sudanese team.
It's one of the most heartwarming stories you're going to hear about the Olympics, and I hope they talk about it a lot. Luol Deng, who 20 years ago was drafted by the Bulls from Duke, he put together this team. And to understand Luol Deng's travels, he and his family had to be refugees from Sudan during their civil war. He went to a refugee camp in Egypt. Then they immigrated to London. His parents sent him to go to Blair High School in the United States. And so he decided that he would take his money that he earned in the NBA and he would build a basketball program. They had no courts. They were war-torn. He built a basketball court. He put his money into it. He brought his high school coach to help coach these players. Mm-hmm. And then he is now coaching the team. And they almost beat the United States in the exhibition game last week. And they did win their first game against Puerto Rico. Sasha, to me, this is it's the best story that I could ever think about. And what Luol Deng has done, he put his money where his mouth was.
Yeah.
He wanted Sudan to have this. And he wanted these young men to be able to thrive. And their women are also, think about it, they made the Olympics. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Noah, I was going to ask you about that because, I mean, the U.S. women's basketball team, they're trying to extend their dominance this year and get their eighth consecutive gold medal.
Crazy.
I mean, incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's possible? How are they looking so far?
I mean, it's absolutely possible. But yeah, with them, it's again, another who's who of WNBA All-Stars. A lot of very established veterans, you know, looking to, they've got nothing to prove. They're just there to show
their
dominance.
So you'll be like, you won't be too impressed. You'll say, good, they're supposed to win. They're supposed to win. Who are the up-and-comers to watch on the women's team, Cheryl?
Well, they're all established. I mean, what's great is Kalia Copper is making her first appearance at the Olympics.
Oh, nice.
Asia Wilson is the GOAT right now for women's basketball. And you have Diana Taurasi, who at 43 years old is in her fourth Olympics. You know, this is Sabrina Ionescu. These are players, all of them are all-stars. The interesting thing is they had a difficult time when they had the exhibition game at the All-Star game against the players that didn't make the team. So they know that they have to be at their top of their game. Face it, Sasha, no other team in the world has the players that USA
has. They don't really stand a chance, do they?
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's jump to track and field, because I don't know about you, but I've been seeing Snoop Dogg everywhere. He was carrying the torch during the opening ceremony. He was also offering commentary like this.
Dipping, ripping, riding, slipping, and hopefully not sliding. Jumping over this hurdle in the water. Oh, get up out of there. Oh, they coming behind him 7-8 deep like horses. I love it. bunched in and they run it slow. But, oh, he jumped on the top of the hurdle. You can do that? That was a cold trick right there. I like that one. He went off the tippy top.
This was him calling, I think, a badminton match. I mean, what do you make of Snoop's role in Paris?
Well, he, you know, he, him and Kevin Hart, I know they had a studio show during the last Olympics.
Oh, I stand corrected, Noah. That was hurdles.
Right. You know, it's just amazing seeing so many, there's been so many pop culture icons getting themselves involved with these Olympics. You know, I saw Flavor Flav is sponsoring the women's water polo team.
Is he still walking around with that big clock?
Yep. Who would have thought? I mean, there's just so many amazing things happening with this. And it's great to see the support, you know, especially because, you know, a lot of these are sports that when you get away from the Olympics, they don't necessarily have some massive following 365 days a year. You know, right. This is their time to shine.
So
seeing these, you know, high profile names, you know, taking the time to give these people their deserved flowers, you know, I think that's special.
Super cool. I'm hearing Colin Jost was doing surfing commentary too, to your point, from SNL, if you're unfamiliar, Saturday Night Live. So sticking with track and field here, I want to talk about runner Sha'Carri Richardson on Team USA. Super talented athlete. She wasn't able to go to the 2020 games, even though she qualified because marijuana was found in her system. But this year she says, "I'm not back. I'm better." Mm-hmm. Quote. She said a world record. This was at the World Championship in 2023 in Budapest. I mean, she's on fire, Noah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Sha'Carri Richardson that's so amazing to me is this is her first Olympics and she's already garnered this much of a following where she's such a household name. Mm-hmm. We're going to see her. She's going to be running on Friday in the 100 meters. So that's going to be really exciting to watch. That's going to be one that everybody has their eyes peeled to.
Yes,
for sure.
And I got to be honest, that's the event that I got to separate from the country I currently live in and cheer on my home country. Team Jamaica. I know. Sha'Carri's biggest competition. I will definitely be watching Shellyann Fraser-Pryce and seeing how she competes as well. But go Sha'Carri. Go Shellyann.
Right.
You spoke, Noah, with Illinoisan triple jumper Tori Franklin. Mm-hmm. First, explain this event.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's pretty funky looking, you know, after it happens so fast and you're kind of like, okay, how did you do that? It's essentially very similar to the long jump. But the difference here is, as the name implies, there's three jumps. So first they jump off one foot and land on the same foot. Then they do a skip to the opposite foot. Mm-hmm. And then it's off of that foot that they do their sort of launch into the air, into the sand with both feet. Okay. So here's a clip of Tori Franklin sort of talking about her approach to a triple jump.
For me personally, I am an athlete of speed. There are some triple jumpers that are power jumpers. There are some that have both, but I'm a speed jumper. So that's my superpower and that's my focus, is to bring the speed down the runway, to be light, to be tall, and everything else will take care of itself.
So cool. I want to jump into some other sports here. I know the women's soccer team's doing well, Cheryl, but I got to talk about some new sports. Returning for the second time is surfing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and then making its debut, we've got breakdancing.
Yep. Well, you know, the one thing about the Olympics, they like to bring in these new sports that are popular internationally. And so that's why they bring in, and it's supposed to be similar to like the synchronized swimming has become big, you mm-hmm. know, with gymnastics, they have the artistry ones. So it's going to be kind of like, you know, doing, and it gets graded. So it's going to be kind of interesting because, you know, you're going to see how they get graded. But gosh, yeah. When I look at somebody do that, I'm going, ouch.
Noah's
my body hurts.
Noah can't stop laughing.
The one thing about the surfing is really cool. They're not, you know, my husband goes to me, where are they doing it? There's no place in Paris. And they are doing it in Tahiti.
Yes.
Which is very cool. And, you know, and when you watch that, how much fun. I want to get on
the surfing scares me. I keep thinking that they're going to like drown once they get like lost in a huge wave. I'm like, where did they go? Oh, there she is. But to make room for some of these, some sports had to go. So no baseball, no softball, no karate. But those will be coming back to the 2028 games in LA. I didn't realize it was up to the discretion of the Olympic committee to change it every year, Cheryl.
Well, they change it, and one of the things is that MLB realized that, you know, they lost out because Major League Baseball couldn't, because their schedule conflicts with it, but it really hurt the women's softball game, which was had no problem with it. So they, the fact that they are bringing it back in 2028, but, you know, Major League Baseball knew that they made a mistake with that. They now have this World Baseball Classic they do before the season, like they did last year, but not this year. So they want to get the world involved with baseball. And that's why if they could get more and more with some of these sports, they will have them in the Olympics. It has to do with popularity in a big, big way.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue watching. I know it was kind of difficult to do, to watch the Tokyo Games from the U.S. That was kind of a mess, Noah.
Yeah.
But NBC has promised it's better this time.
I mean, I would say it's still early, but I would say there's definitely a shift. It's not as drastic of a time difference, so that helps.
That's true. So it's 7 hours
right
now. Yeah.
So one of the things that they introduced is they call it the Gold Zone on Peacock. If you're familiar with during football season, there's NFL Red Zone with the multiple boxes showing all the different games happening at the same time. So they do that with the Olympics. They show four different events happening at the same time. They'll jump in when there's a big moment happening, because the Olympics, there's a lot of it's real quick. Some of them there's so much happening in so many of them. It's a matter of 30 seconds.
By the time I get home later today, I'm going to have so much to catch up on
right.
For sure. We've been talking with Noah Jennings, WBEZ producer, and WBEZ's sports contributor, Cheryl Ray Stout. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Max Lubers. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss another one. You can also check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.